At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stand. Manchester United lose 3-0 to Manchester City in the Manchester Derby. Let's download and assess all your thoughts. We've got player ratings, mark every player out of 10, 6 being the average. Link is in the description for that. But ultimately, the first thing that needs to be said is that Ruben Amorim is sacking himself. You can be really angry, we can all fall out, there can be Amorim in, there can be Amorim out, but ultimately he is sacking himself. And it matters not whether you scream Amorim out or Amorim in. I will say straight from the start, I am Amorim in. You know, 100% Amorim in. But that doesn't mean I can't be absolutely fuming with some of the illogical decisions he keeps making. The stubbornness will ultimately do him in. And we can digest that. I don't think Manchester City got out of third gear, which is ultimately very embarrassing. And I think that was, you know, like a floater in a toilet. It's shit. It's just shit. It was absolutely shit. And I think the frustrating thing is we absolutely deserve to lose that game. And Man City weren't even that good. So as I said before the game, Burnley will be in a relegation battle and we needed a last minute penalty. If you can't dominate teams like that because you're going to give them chances to get back in the game, you're definitely going to lose games like this. And that was what I was hoping to see. Every goal is just so basic. So basic. I mean, we can break it down, but every goal is preventable. And you can't give leads to any team in the Premier League. Because, all right, Bruno loses Foden. But if Bruno loses a Brentford midfielder in a couple of weeks, they'll score. You know, we're going to concede goals because we did it against Fulham. It doesn't matter. And as I said, look, Newcastle lost 12 games and finished fifth. We've lost two to Arsenal and Man City. If you're picking 10 games to lose, you're probably going to say Man City at the Etihad, Arsenal at home. They're acceptable losses if you're going to lose 10 games. But we ain't going to just lose to them. I can already see we're going to lose to Palace. We're going to lose to Bournemouth. I can see these losses. So as much as some people might spin a positive and say, well, we've had a hard start. We've had to play Chelsea, Man City and Arsenal in the first three and we might lose all three. That's fine if you're playing well and losing to very good teams. We're playing badly and we're going to lose to teams in the mid-table. We're going to lose to teams in the bottom half of the table because that team is in disarray. You can already see it. So what's the big problem here? I think there's multiple problems. I mean, let's just start off with Amorim. Why am I not saying Amorim out? Because it's preposterous. And I will read all your super chats, by the way. We'll probably just do it towards the end of the show. We'll read them. There's a lot to unpack and we'll do the player ratings, of course. But I'm not Amorim out for this reason. Stubbornness or not, sacking a manager in season never goes well. Stubbornness or what or not, we are a club that can't afford to buy a midfielder and a goalkeeper and you want us pay to sack another manager and then try and fund another manager when we couldn't fund this one. Financially, it will ruin us to sack the manager. We couldn't even pay for this project. How are we going to pay for another project? So look, maybe Amorim's not going to be the guy. But sacking a manager, to me, is suicidal for this football club. So I also don't want to sack another manager. So that's my explanation. But that's my explanation. I honestly say this with total sincerity. He's going to sack himself. He is going to sack himself. Clip it, whatever you want to do. He will sack himself. I've watched football for too many years. So have you. I've seen the movie. I know what's going to happen. You cannot put square pegs in a round hole. Consistency is all that matters in the Premier League, and you will get exposed for mistakes. We have played 4 Premier League games and we have lost 2 games because of mistakes. Beinder Arsenal, Man City today. But against Fulham, we didn't get 3 points because Bruno lost Smith Rowe. And today, we're losing because Bruno doesn't track Foden. People will talk about formations and systems. Please stop watching this show. Ring up Talk Shit. That's your level. If you're going to ring up and say he's got to change the formation, you're a moron. The formation is not the problem. The system is not the problem. Conte won a Premier League with a 3-4-3. Erik ten Hag and Oli got sacked with a 4-3-3. Anybody who says we need to go to a 4-3-3 or it's a 3-4-3, you're wrong. You're really wrong. The problem is the people he's using in the system. So when you put a number 10 as a number 8 in a midfield 2, forget it. You are going to get demolished. Fulham said at the end of the game, we swamped the midfield because they're weak. Man City today let us have the ball and then swamped the midfield and broke on us. Man City played counter-attacking football against Man United at the Etihad. What death trap are we walking into? It's like a mouse seeing a big lump of cheese on a mouse trap and saying, I'll get the knife and fork. I mean, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. If you can't control the midfield, do not bloody let a team counter-attack you. And that's exactly what we did. Bruno Fernandes, as a number 10, may or may not still be a very, very good player. Bruno Fernandes as a midfielder is like putting Van Dijk in midfield. Very good player for Liverpool. Captain for Liverpool. World-class player for Liverpool. Put him in the midfield, he'll be shit. Bruno Fernandes is a number 10. We are asking a 31-year-old, who is a specialist number 10, to play as a number 8, and then we're moaning at him for not picking up the runners. You are asking him to do a job he can't do. So I blame Bruno. Maybe he should be putting his hand up and saying, I can't do this. Maybe he's stupid for not doing that, but ultimately the manager picks the team. He is sacking himself doing this. And I have to say, this is not a niche argument. I've heard Gary Neville talk about it. I've heard all of you talk about it. I've spoken about it. You can't go into the Premier League and play Bruno Fernandes as a midfielder in a midfield 2. It's sackable. You are going to lose your job. And every single Man United fan needs to scream and shout about it because our season is going to go down the toilet. Like, just play Ugarte and Maynou. They might not be good enough, but it's better than putting Bruno there. He is costing us goals. He has got no idea of the role and what you need to do. And it's going to keep costing us games. And people can talk about the lack of service to Šeško. Good point. People can talk about you don't like a 3-4-3. Fair point. But ultimately, putting Bruno Fernandes in that midfield every week gives everybody a chance. Somebody said it. It's like a bloody festival. It's like a bloody, you know, what are you going to win this week? 3 points, 3 points, 3 points. It's madness. Second to that, I've got to say, this goes down as one of the worst substitutions I've ever seen. At 2-0, you never know. The biggest cliche in football is 2-0 is a get. You know, it's a dangerous scoreline because if you concede one, you lose the momentum, it can go to 2-2. So at 2-0, very disappointing, the game's probably over, but there's half an hour to go. What does he do? He takes Lenny Yoro off. We don't play for a week. Why are you taking Lenny Yoro off? You take Lenny Yoro off and you put Harry Maguire on. But even better than that, you move De Ligt. So De Ligt's the central centre-back. You move him to right side and you put Harry Maguire as the last man against the quickest and best striker in Europe. And lo and behold, 2 times.
Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
They nearly score a goal. I mean, I actually questioned on the watch along whether Harry Maguire substitution was actually a metaphor for a resignation. Because that was basically like, let's get stuffed. It's like a turkey sitting there on your bloody kitchen table with a packet of Paxo saying, stuff me. It was mad. I don't even know what that was all about. I mean, poor old Harry Maguire is stood there on the halfway line with Erling Haaland. In a foot race, it's the equivalent of a Ferrari taking on a brick. It was just ridiculous. I don't understand what that was all about. That was a shocking substitution at 2-0 in a Manchester derby. And I tell you what, it might be a joke to some people. It might be a joke to the manager. It might be a joke to the players. And it might be a joke to Sir Jim. But to some of us, the Manchester derby actually dictates our mood. It actually matters when you support this football club. And you might be 2-0 down and go, oh, fuck it, doesn't matter. But to us, it's all we've got. It, you know, it ruins our day. It ruins the week. You know, actually supporting Manchester United actually does matter to us. It actually does. So when you 2-0 up and you make a fucking idiotic substitution like that and players are fucking around, it does, it, you know, it does boil the blood. It is frustrating. And I am frustrated. I don't even feel bad towards Man. You know, sometimes you want to blame a referee or you want to go or look at Haaland with his ponytail. I don't even care about Man City because they're not even very good. I think Arsenal will beat them next season, next week. They're not even very good. They're a team in crisis who've just added 3 points. They never even got out of third gear. I don't think that was vintage Man City at all. I've seen United play Man City and I've gone, bloody hell, they're a good side. They weren't even that good. We've been battered. Battered. It should have been 5-0. We have been battered by a Manchester City side that isn't even that good, you know? I'm sort of like, I'm sort of in a position where I'm like, well, I need to get into your comments. Of course I do. And also as well, like this needs to be said. This has to be said. Why and who is responsible for our summer transfer window? Because watching that game, watching the Fulham game, watching the Burnley game, I'm sort of looking at it and going, we spent £200 million on an attack that doesn't get any service. At what point did people sit in the boardroom over the summer and go, you know, we've just finished 15th and been shit. The problem is the attack. That's the problem. If we buy the attack, we'll be fine. You don't buy goals. Like, Mbeumo didn't score those goals for Brentford just because he's Mbeumo. And Cunha didn't score the goals just because he's Cunha. Like, there was actually a team feeding them. Šeško won't pull goals out of his arse. Like, there has to be, a system, a rhythm, a cohesion, a chemistry to build up to the final third. Why did we spend £200 million on the front three? Like, to ignore the midfield and the goalkeeper is hilarious. And you know what? I think when it comes to transfers, if you want a visual to sum up how we fucked up the summer transfer window, I would say watch the Mbeumo shot saved by Donnarumma. That really should be played on loop to Ruben Amorim, Jason Wilcox, Omar Berada, Sir Jim Ratcliffe and Joel Glazer. That is where we fucked up. Because Man City lose Ederson and buy an experienced goalkeeper. We get rid of Onana and we're still playing Binder in goal. Like, top-class goalkeepers win your games. If that Mbeumo shot goes in, I think it was 2-0 at that point. 2-1, maybe you scrap an equaliser and we're all sat here very happy. I mean, look, I don't really want to talk about the goalkeeper massively, but he was a calamity. He was crap. He was crap. He's not at fault for the Foden goal. He's not at fault for the third goal. He's definitely at fault for the second goal. Like, if that's David Raya, if that's Donnarumma, if that's Alisson, they're anticipating the danger, which gets them a yard further forward, and they don't stop halfway. They take the ball, they take Haaland, and it's just, I was stunned where he was. You know when you watch a lot of football and you go, the goalkeeper's coming for that? And I'm like, where's the fucking goalkeeper? Like, you know when you watch loads of football and you get used to different things, and that as that ball goes through, I'm like, that's a heavy touch, where's the goalkeeper? No. And then he stops and so, yeah, just fuck off. It's just not good enough. But that again is sort of like, I'm not going to say Lemens should have played. Maybe he's not good enough. I don't know. He's from the Belgian league. Maybe he's not good enough, but we should have bought Emi Martinez. You know, we should have bought Emi Martinez and we should have bought a midfielder. And we are basically, you know, a lucky dip at the moment. You don't know what you're going to get. We could beat Chelsea next week. We could lose to Brentford the week after. I don't know what's going to happen. But when you look at the league table, we are already, I was looking at it there, we are already 14th and we are already 5 points off fourth. So, you know, that gap is there already. I said by game 10, we want to be in touching distance of fifth. We're not even in touching distance after game four. It's shocking. And also, can I just say, we get very locked in on transfer activity, tactics, the manager. Let's just put a shine on the players before we do the player ratings here as well. Forget me, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are 11 players on that pitch. And correct me if I'm wrong, when we do the player ratings next, every player starts off with an average 6. Now, manager makes decisions, yes. Transfers are on the board, yes. Explain to me why legitimately there won't be any player above a 6 in a Manchester derby again. Why is it the players get off the hook all the time? This is a Manchester derby. We're playing one game a week. We're meant to be intense and focused for one game a week now because they're not good enough to be in Europe. We ask for one game a week of intensity and not one of them can put a 6 out of 10 in. Explain that. Against the Man City side that didn't get out of third gear, not one player can put a 6 out of 10 in. That's a disgrace. That is a disgrace. And every player, I mean, this is just falling on deaf ears, but you are an absolute disgrace. In a Manchester derby, in the city where you play, where we're playing our city rivals, where, you know, Everton will be up for it against Liverpool next week, you can't even put in an average performance. Shame on you. Do you not understand what that badge is? So yeah, Amorim is sacking himself. The board, what were they doing in the summer? I don't know. But the players, this ain't Brentford or Sunderland. It's a Manchester derby. And you're putting in a performance like that. It's shameful. Absolutely. And I'm looking at the camera after the game and they're all walking around shaking hands. And I'm like...
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous US only.
Forget shaking hands. You'd be getting punched. You'd be getting punched by Roy Keane for that performance. You'd be getting kicked off the pitch. Where's the passion for this shirt? Like, where's the... And again, I think that ultimately, sadly, does fall on Bruno. He's an awful captain. And I don't blame him, because who would you give it to? But that team has been bereft of leadership for a very long time. It's a shocking leadership group. Really bad. I mean, Luke Shaw's in the leadership group. He couldn't lead a bloody wasp to an open can of Red Bull. It's rubbish. Rubbish. They don't care. They don't care. They just do not care. They don't. Let's do the player ratings because I then I want to get into some of your comments. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, by the way. Bottom right-hand corner, give us your thoughts. We're going to be live in the studio with Ricky and co and Beth and everybody very shortly after this. But player ratings are incoming. Let me just make sure. Okay, I mean, look, I don't know what you're going to give. Binder a 3 for me. Can't do anything on the first goal, but he was a nervous wreck. You know, there's no confidence there. I know Onana was, but... You can tell the defenders don't rate him. He's too slow on the second goal. He ain't good enough. It's going to cost us goals. I don't think he cost us the game today, to be fair, but he ain't good enough. Yoro, I'd probably say, you know, 5. Yeah, probably a five. I'd say Dalit was a five as well. I don't think they were shocking as a pair, and they have been our best two players this season so far, but they were both below average. I mean, you know, the first goal was on Bruno and Shaw. The second goal, I think Dalit gets caught in a bad position, but Luke Shaw should cover it. Yoro, they just didn't look as good. They looked nervous. They didn't look as good as they did in the before the international break. Luke Shaw, two. I thought he was abysmal. I don't know how he stayed on the pitch. I mean, that attempt at a tackle on the first goal, all right, it's Bruno's fault, but it's weak. I'm looking at this one here. He's trying to pull Haaland back. He should sprint. He's got no pace. I thought he was absolute dog shit, to be honest with you. I don't know why he stayed on the pitch. He was abysmal, absolutely abysmal. And that's on the manager. I mean, why you take Yoro on, off, and keep Luke Shaw on, I'll never know. And I don't think he's been good all season. I mean, fair play, he's stayed fit. But if he thinks he's getting back in the England squad, he's got absolutely no chance. I'd rather play Aidan Heaven. I really would. I know he's going to make mistakes, but I would rather play him because he's got no pace anymore. His tackling is weak. Experience? I don't know. It's weak. I mean, they're showing it here and it's weak. Dalit's in a bad position, but Luke Shaw has to cover that. And it's rubbish. Absolutely rubbish. Mazraoui was a 4.5. I do agree with that. I mean, it's great to have him back. I put his name down before the game as being an important player for us, but yeah, he wasn't. We've got a real problem down that right-hand side. If you put Ahmad there, he can't defend. If you put Mazraoui and Dalot there, they can't attack. So, this, you know, it doesn't work. You know, we needed, if you're going to play that system, you need somebody who can play that position, and we can't. I actually thought Ugarte was okay. I wouldn't give him a 6, but I'd give him a 5.5. He was probably my man of the match for us. I thought he played well. I thought he was very impressive in the intensity of his press. I think it's a very difficult job to play in the midfield as one person. I mean, Luke, I'm just looking at the third goal. That's on Luke Shaw and Maguire, isn't it? It's absolutely shit. I didn't realise that. I mean, what's Luke Shaw doing on the third goal? Hospital pass to Maguire. I mean, Luke Shaw should get an assist for that. Takes Maguire out of the game. Bruno, I mean, a 3. Yeah, I agree. A 3. I mean, terrible captaincy performance. Cost us the first goal. Square peg in a round hole. I expect better from a player on 300 grand a week. I do. I thought there was a level of resignation from him as well. I think his head was down for most of the game, blaming other people. I mean, there's just no leadership there. There's no accountability there. I mean, with Bruno as well, we've basically created the main man syndrome, haven't we, as well? When somebody wants to give you £90 million for a player that's not worth 50, and then you beg them to stay, you basically just make them the main man, don't they? Dorgu, probably a 5. I thought he was okay, but his final ball was a bit bad. Mbeumo, 5.5. To be fair, you could give him man of the match, really, couldn't you? I'd probably give him man of the match. I thought he was a bit unlucky with his shot. I think he's the bright spark, really. Him and Ugarte are probably the bright spark. I would give Ugarte another go next week. 100%. And I think Mbeumo is a bright spark in a team that really is, you know, in the shadows at the moment. I think he is a bright spark. I think he's one of the players that can probably walk off and say, you know, I did my part. Ahmad, I don't know, 4.5? Yeah. Too many touches. Too many touches on the ball. That's what I would say about Ahmad. He's not had a very good start to the season. Šeško's got to be a 4.5, and that's generous. Definitely a graveyard shift. Definitely a graveyard shift. What can you say? I mean, how many times are we going to say this about a striker as well? It's just, it ain't good enough, is it? Harry Maguire, I mean, God, 4. Yeah, I mean, I feel like Harry Maguire, as an analogy, was a little bit like getting a lamb, coating it in tomato ketchup and throwing it to a load of wolves. You know, a lamb to the slaughter, really. I mean, it was just, I know, Harry, go and stand on the halfway line with Haaland and have a foot race three times. Yeah, I don't get that substitution at all. Mainu did okay. Probably give him a five. Casemiro, five. Xerxes, five. I mean, they're irrelevant, really. Amorim today, two. And, you know, there's your Amorim inner. I am Amorim in. I am Amorim in. But, like, if we don't say it, you know, it feels like it just needs to be said. Like, I want him to do well. I want to back him. But it's like your mate. It's like your mate who's clearly in the wrong. And you want to back them, and you do back them, but on this, it has to be said. You know, like if you've got a mate who's, you know, got a lovely wife and a lovely family, and he's off doing things he shouldn't do, and you don't agree with it, and you say, look, you are a mate, you've got every, there's loads of opportunities, but you're in the wrong. I feel like this with Amorim. I want you to stay. I want you to be the manager. I want us to build something, and I believe we can. But the Bruno thing has to stop, mate. Like, I can't back that. I can't back that. It's idiotic. It is stupid. It is costing us games. The opposition know what to do. They basically put players on Bruno and then run off him, knowing they're going to be unmarked in the six-yard box. Like, it is killing us. I actually think, up until the goal, we were doing all right. You know, you know when we finished 15th last year, we're absolutely shit. First 20 minutes at the Etihad against a very good Man City team on paper. And we're holding our own. It's competitive. It's equal. We're doing okay. You know, we're not creating anything. They're not creating anything, but we're doing okay. And then one bit of bad defending by Luke Shaw. A cross comes in and Bruno's lost his man and it's 1-0. And then you've got a mountain to climb. And who's that on? Really? Who is that on? And I've got Bruno on my screen here. I don't give a shit what he says, because at the end of the day, mate, you playing as a number eight is cost us the game. What do you think about that? Well, I disagree. Well, I'm sorry, mate. I think the vast majority of the earth know that. So look, I back the manager. We can't sack the manager, but somebody needs to be telling him, are you going to change that midfield? Because if you're not, you may as well resign. Like, I hate to say it. I back the manager. I'm not Amorim out. I'm Amorim in. But if you're going to pick Bruno, you're going to die on that hill. If you're going to put Bruno in your midfield, you're going to die on that hill. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And we can all pinpoint the decision to keep him instead of taking 90 million. And we can, you know, we can go mad thinking what we could have done with that 90 million pounds. But if you don't stop picking him in the midfield, you will sack yourself. 100%. 100%. Who was your man of the match? 59% Mbeumo. Thank you very much for that. Okay, right. Let's get into some of your comments, because you've been very, very patient. Then we'll go over to Manchester. Thanks for all your super chats. If you want to chuck them in, I will read them. We belong in the championship, says Salim. Do you think that could be Amorim gone? Really hope it's not. No. HM. The club ain't going to sack him for losing to Man City. The club won't sack him for losing to Chelsea. He won't be sacked by the club. If you want Amorim to go, he will have to resign. But he will eventually sack himself, because the scary thing is he stubborn and up his own arse enough to think that we're all wrong? Is he stubborn enough to think that he can play Bruno Fernandes in the Premier League? Because the thing about Amorim is, we've all been watching Man United for years. But more importantly, we all watch the Premier League. You cannot play with a midfield like that. The players can't play the system, but transfer window is closed. He needs to work with what he's got, says Swish. What would I do in the midfield? Just Agate and Mainu every week. You've got to make it work. You know, it's the most balanced midfield we've got until January. It's Agate and Mainu every week. That's what I would do. No fight, no organisation, rolled over for City. Same mistake, same passengers. This isn't bad luck anymore. It's mentality, says Slow Sports News. Bring in Areola, says Malachi. You know what, Malachi? I do think there's a level of naivety to think that there's a magic manager out there. Like, I genuinely think at this point we need to realise that sacking a manager and bringing in the next hipster won't work, because we've literally done that 5 times. Like, it's not as simple as sacking a manager and bringing another manager in anymore. Like, it has to be bigger than that. They play forward through the middle anyway. It's always from centre-back to the wide players after that. It's just stuttering, says Salim. Shame to just expect these results now, says David. Newcastle sacked Steve Bruce and got Eddie Howe. Best thing they did. Apart from maybe not getting Šeško, Eddie would do a great job at Man United, says Nathan. He wouldn't take it. Roy Keane created Haaland, says Vanessa. Trying to blame Maguire is simply pathetic, says Red Army. You didn't listen. This season feels like it's going to be a case of same shit, different toilet from United, says Aaron. Fernandez should play number 10 only, not midfield, says Mr. and Mrs. AM. He should go back to Casemiro Ugarte and play Ugarte as a Kante-style counter-press high up the pitch, the way we played in the Europa League. We have too many average players to be controlling possession-based, says Chip. I'm done with Bruno in the midfield. Amrim is going to keep costing his games with his stubbornness, says Mr. Lopez. If that was good Ugarte performance, Jesus, says Matthew. Well, I didn't say it was good. I gave him 5.5. I mean, nobody hit a 6 for me. Mate, stop the lies. How many teams have won major titles with a 4-3-3? Says Victoria. I think your obsession with the formation is boring, Victoria, and I'm not going to talk about it. Please ring up, talk shit and shout. Luke Shaw single-handedly lost us that game. We needed to do a whole team clean-up, not half all the way. Says Scott. It's simple. We've done player authority on the hand or subs to changes. It's the players and not the system. We need more players, says D-Budge. Mark, Amrim is not Conte, says Keel. 3-0, Ollie, Manchester is blue. Keep crying, says the Football Pulse. Only way to get payout if he gets sacked, says Jason Brown. Keeping Bruno on the centre midfield is proof. We need wins, says JB. Mark, he's as bad as Ollie. You're not seeing it. He's taking the club backwards as well. It's another manager who doesn't get the midfield working when there is obvious options he won't touch, says Crescian. Šeško was in a great position for most of the game. So many chances for a through ball, but took it wide for a cross that did absolutely nothing, says Cameron. You know what? Watch Rasmus's goal against Napoli last night and watch what Spinazzola does. And then watch Man United and you'll realise we never do it. We never play the ball early into the striker. He's sacking himself, says Corey. Be under bench next game, please, says 44 Mad. I like Amrim, but it's the same every week. This clearly isn't working. We look slightly better than last year, but it's nowhere near good enough, says Jordan. There is no system philosophy that suits this group, says Dylan. It doesn't matter what midfielder you bring in. If Bruno stays in the midfield, nothing will change, says Nick B. And that's the thing as well. It has to be said. People will say the board didn't back Amrim, and they didn't. They didn't get a midfielder in. They didn't get an experienced goalkeeper in. But even I will say, if they'd got Belaba or they'd got Conor Gallagher, he'd still be playing Bruno next to them. So, you know, as much as I agree we didn't buy a midfielder, I'm absolutely convinced if they'd bought a midfielder, he'd still pick fucking Bruno next to him. It would be Belaba and Bruno. It would be Conor Gallagher and Bruno. And, you know, even as somebody that backs Amrim, I'll still be truthful and say it wouldn't have been Belaba and Mainoo. It wouldn't have been Belaba and Ugarte. It would have been Belaba and Amrim and Bruno. Until today, I've never been Amrim out, but if we play this dead formation that couldn't beat Grimsby more time... Yeah, but Justin, you've just contradicted yourself. I mean, you don't need a formation or a system to beat Grimsby. That's clearly on the players when you're playing a League Two side with people on hundreds of thousands of pounds a week. That's players. You don't need a system to beat Grimsby. That's fucking shit players. Like, come on. I can't listen to you about systems and formations. You need to get yourself onto talk shit, Victoria, because you are talking it. I'd like to hear how you defend Ruben now, says Colin. I didn't. People say asking for Amrim sack, new manager in, same shit players, same result, same player will start the same cycle and will be a mid-table club. I mean, Anu, as I said, like Amrim sacking himself, but I'm not Amrim out. But what I do find amazing is that we still have fans that want to put it all at the manager's feet. Like, these are shit players. Like, you know, they are shit. Like, they are shit with a shit mentality. I've just watched the Manchester Derby. We've just done player ratings and not one player is average. They're all below average. That's not on the manager. That's not on Sir Jim. That's not on you. That's on them. You can talk about systems. You can talk about Bruno in the midfield. You can talk about the goalkeeper. You can talk about a lack of signings. This is a Manchester fucking Derby and not one Man United player has managed to play average. I don't care about arguments about formations. I don't care about arguments about the manager. And I don't care about ownership arguments either. This is a Manchester Derby and you can't even play average. What the fuck? Like, why is that not at least being mentioned as well? Okay, you don't like the manager. Okay, you don't like the owners. But this is a Manchester derby and you can't even play average. That has to be in the conversation. Like, you don't get away with that. I'm sorry. As a Man United player, you do not get away with that. You can't leak to the press that you don't like the system. It's a Manchester derby and not one of you played average. Look in the fucking mirror. You know, I'm not saying they're to blame, but I'm saying that they have to take some of it. Of course they do. I don't think there is any point getting angry. We need strong players in all positions, says Rohith. If Amarin doesn't stop nepotism managing, he must go, says Lemophilia. What have I just watched? It was a shambles, says Gavin. Embarrassing that they haven't found a way to include the striker in the attack. He's the number one priority, says Sudev. Well, remember, next week we're about to play one of the best midfielders in the league as well. James Hook, thank you very much for joining the Members Club. I've still got a few super chats coming in here. I don't like losing. But I'll lose 6-3 if we give it a go and we're entertaining. But that's piss poor. You know, that's horse piss, that result. It's... You know, no goals scored, shitty goals conceded, Man City don't get out of third gear, no cohesion, no leadership, no accountability, shit substitutions. I mean, there's nothing to take out of that game, is there? Like, that's the thing. There's nothing to take out of it. I'm not hammering out, but 100% needs to realise that his formation might not work with these players. Jacob says, do you understand the fans can't see the progress? Amarin, we're doing better. It's just the result. Don't show it. Mate, I'll repeat again. If you want to get a mass message to Ruben Amorim, mate, you're going to sack yourself. You can talk about us getting better, but what does that matter if you've got a guy in the midfield who doesn't mark people and cost you goals? Fulham, 3 points, down the drain because Smith Rowe doesn't get tracked. Today, 1-0 down in a Manchester derby because Foden doesn't get tracked. You can talk about all the good stuff you like. You know what it is, mate? Maybe things are getting better, but it's like filling your living room with a lovely TV and loads of brilliant stuff and then leaving the patio door open for it to get nicked. It doesn't matter if it's getting better, if you're stupid and giving a big gaping hole. As I said, that midfield is as wide open as a hippo's yawn. It's massive, massive. And if he doesn't figure that out, he may as well walk. I can't get positive about this United side. I can't get optimistic about this United side. Even though I see improvement, I can't get optimistic if he's going to pick Bruno every week in the midfield. It's going to kill us. I'm sorry. It's like saying you're going on a once-in-a-lifetime holiday to Sydney, Australia. But to do it, you've got to swim up and down the coast with bloody cuts on your knee. I'm going to get eaten by a fucking shark. It doesn't matter if I'm on a holiday of a lifetime. Was it the game today? The effort I made to get there was more than the players made in the pitch, jogging around instead of sprinting. No hard tackling. Pathetic, says Amon. We need to give Bruno accountability, but sub him off. Needs manager to let him know he's underperforming. Well, we may as well build a statue of Bruno. He's untouchable, isn't he? You know, we turned down £90 million for him. Anna Rudd says, I may be disillusional, but this loss shows that we can never get back to a team that plays for the badge. All of us need to make peace with our downfall. Well, realistically, at the moment, I think you'd pitch us in at 15th again, wouldn't you? And that's the challenge. We've got to be better. We lose 3-0 to City, but we're getting better. Standards in the mud, says Victoria. My big dilemma is I don't see it working with Amarin or a new manager. I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. Nigel, I think you are absolutely spot on. By all means, change the manager, but I don't think it will get any better. Please bring Ten Hag back, says Amrim out. Maybe Ruud van Nistelrooy should get a chance, says Grant. I don't know why I can't get rid of you, but you're gone. Thank you very much. We actually need better wing-backs. Amrim's system needs it, says Shan. We have a 6-foot strike striker and we're crossing to 4-foot cams, says Naveen. Baz says you've been disrespectful against Victoria. I'm not being disrespectful. You're probably just new. We've spent about 9 months talking about the formation. It's a boring conversation. And if you want to talk about it, get yourself on TalkSport, because I guarantee that that'll be full of low IQ idiots saying the formation's the problem. If you want me to repeat it again, I will tell you. If you think the formation's the problem, fine. But 4-3-3 got three managers sacked. 3-4-3, 4-3-3, 5-3-2, 2-2-4. It doesn't matter. The formation doesn't matter. It's the players. And what Amorim's problem is that he's putting a player in a position they can't play. So the players are 100% always going to be a problem. But Amorim is compounding that by putting a player in a position that he shouldn't play. What the problem with the modern football fan who doesn't know what they're talking about is they try and list loads of problems because they don't feel one problem's big enough. Trust me, we've got two major problems. The goalkeeper is shit and the midfield is shit. That's enough. That's simply enough. You don't need to start listing more like wing backs or strikers or systems or formations. Those two problems, they're going to screw you over in the Premier League. The midfield is where games are won and lost, and we are losing it. And our goalkeeper ain't good enough either. So those two problems are absolutely spot on. Gary Neville said it 3 weeks ago. We need a goalkeeper and we need a midfielder, and we haven't solved the problem. You lot have been saying it for a year. We need a goalkeeper and a midfielder, and we haven't solved the problem. If we had, let's say, Conor Gallagher next to Ugarte today and Emi Martinez in goal, I don't think we lose the game. I really don't, because we don't concede the first goal. Maybe we get a draw. But to me, football is very, very simple. And the problems are very, very easy to see. And the problem is we've got an attacker playing in the midfield and we've got a crap goalkeeper in goal. And that feeds into the whole team. And when you've got a weakness in a team, everybody else is weakened by it. So Ugarte or Casemiro or Mainoo's game is always going to be shit because they've got a shit player next to them. And the defence is going to be impacted by the goalkeeper. So, you know, formation to me screams, if we change the formation next week, we will win. And then next week you'll be going, Bruno was shit again. Oh, the defence, the goalkeeper was shit again. I don't think it's a formational problem at all. I don't think we've got the players. He ain't changing anything, says Robert McCormack, and therefore he will get the sack because he will be sacking himself, which I said at the start. Absolutely. Absolutely agree with that. 100%. Anana's made a blunder against Fenerbahce, apparently. Anwar says the formation works for Glasner because his midfield is press resistant. I mean, this is a great point. A great point. Crystal Palace play a 3-4-3. They play it very, very well. Conte plays a 3-4-3. They play it very, very well. We can't do it because he's putting a player in the midfield that doesn't have the profile to do it. And that's on the manager. So, you know, that he's sacking himself. 100%. 100%. I don't want him to do it. I don't want him to do it. I want him to do well. But is it stubbornness? Yes. Will it sack him if he keeps doing it? Yes. 100%. Let me have a quick look at your comments. They're ready to go in the studio. I feel I'm hogging the limelight here. I'm sure you'll get completely different opinions over there. Justin says, no, Justin, you don't understand what you're talking about. Sorry. I'm not being baited into an argument about that. We've been doing this for 10 years. We disagree. That's the way it works. But I will repeat it again. If you think a formation is the problem at Manchester United, I think you have got low IQ and I'm entitled to say it. You can argue back. You bloody well do. Well done. It's called an opinion. But I'm telling you now, there's nothing wrong with a 4-3-3, a 3-4-3, a 5-3-2. Formations are never the problem. And this is what I mean about low IQ. Formations aren't the problem. If Crystal Palace can win an FA Cup playing a 3-4-3 and Conte can win a Premier League winning a 3-4-3, it ain't the formation, is it? It's the players you're using in it. That's the conversation we're having. It's not that, you know, people go, change the formation, change the formation. It's not the formation, it's the players in it. And what I'm saying is, Amorim's insistence on using Bruno in this formation is going to sack him. Simple. Hopefully. I think most people can understand that. Well done. Let's get over to Manchester. I'm interested to see what they say. I need to take a deep breath and calm down. But ultimately, well done to Manchester City. They thoroughly deserved it. We can have no complaints apart from the ones that we've raised. Where are we going to finish this season? Mid-table. Get it in the live chat. Spam them. Mid-table FC. Thanks for watching.